good day. Today's a celebration, if you haven't noticed already. We're going to be celebrating. We celebrated communion. We're going to be celebrating some baptism in just a few minutes. It's a good day. God is good. He's awesome. Amen? He's really good. Hey, before the service, I got awarded this thing right here. I got a medal today. It says, Delaware County Pregnancy Center, Walk for Life 2018, first place pastor says thank you. And that I did absolutely nothing. But this church raised a lot of money, and they did a fundraiser for the Walk for Life. Delaware County Pregnancy Center raised the most money for that incredible ministry over in Chester. And I get a medal for it, for all the good work you guys did. So thank you. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, you could do that. There's some Bibles in front of you if you'd like to turn there. It will also be up here with our technology up here. And you can follow along in the Bible. But I want to start out by saying this. As we're looking into some baptisms this morning where some people are going to make a huge step in their faith. And it's a huge step of faith with a clear conscience, knowing that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins and they have now eternal life, a new life in Christ Jesus. And let me just say this. I mean, you may have noticed that we get excited here. That we're a little bit jubilant here. We have fun. We enjoy it because every day is a celebration. When we come together as a community of believers, we're celebrating what God has done. Because, you know, there's nothing more exhilarating. There's nothing more peaceful. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that your past has been forgotten and that your record of sins from your past is completely canceled and that there is an ever-unfolding joy of new life that awaits you every day. That's what's so exciting. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we get so pumped up in here. And that's why it's so such a good thing to come together and remember those things. That is true. That's what God says. Your past is forgotten. Doesn't matter to me. What matters is what I did on the cross through my son, Jesus. And if you put your faith in him, my grace is extended to you. And my favor and my blessings and my goodness and all that is about me, I just pour it upon your life. And that's what we celebrate here. In this book, Galatians, that you just turned to in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is trying to work through a dispute among the church. And this dispute is this. There are so many that believe that in order to be in right standing before God, right, in order to be in God's good grace, right, or to be in his good books, to be in okay standing with God, in a good position with God, that it had to come about by how much good works you did and the deeds that you do, as if that was an avenue to salvation. And so there was this argument going back and forth that the Jewish believers, some of the Jewish believers believe that Christians should practice the Jewish law. All right, so the Jewish law was rules and it was regulations and it was traditions and they were so bogged down with this that they believed that this was the avenue towards salvation. And Paul comes on the scene and he says, No. It's not about your deeds. It's not about how much good works you do. It's not about how many good deeds you do. You can't earn salvation. Nobody in this room can earn salvation. And Paul says, look, this is a free gift. It's a free gift to you. And Paul uses this opportunity right here, and he breaks down the gospel into its most simplest form as this. Salvation is given to you by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. It is God's grace. He takes the initiative. He does all the work. He comes down here, enters the mess of mankind and humanity, and solves the problem for us through Jesus Christ. And we then become in right standing with God simply through our faith that he did that for us. It's as simple as that. You know, a lot of times we complex this gospel and we make it really hard to understand, but that is the simplicity of it all. That today, if you want to be in good standing with your Creator, if you want to be in good standing with God, it's simply accepting the grace of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, Paul's saying, look, you can't earn your salvation. This is a free gift of grace. You can't earn grace. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's just given to you. It's a free gift. Kind of like this medal that I received. I did nothing to get it, but I got it. It's really cool, and it's going to be going up in my office, and I'm really cool. I really enjoy it. And then Paul even says, like, he's like, look, how foolish would it be if God came and sent Jesus to this earth to bring freedom to each and every one of humanity who accept it, right? How foolish would it be if we we received this freedom, and then we entered into some sort of other type of bondage, right? That God sets us free from the bondage of sin and death. How foolish would it be if we were set free from those things only to be bound by rules and regulations and traditions as if that was the way to God, that we have to hold those things. But no, Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. You get that? Like, it was for freedom. Freedom was his the object. It was the goal. It was the target so that you and I could be free and set free. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. And Paul even goes a little bit further, and he goes on to say that each and every one of you have been called to freedom, that God calls us to freedom. You know what that means? That every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth has been invited personally by God to partake in all the benefits of the freedom that he gives. To partake and receive all the benefits of the freedom that he gives. And so in the midst of all this, Paul takes a moment to reach far beyond the issues and far beyond the controversies that he's addressing in this letter. And he boils it all down to this one point, and we're going to read it together. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. He says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been baptized with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free man, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, and you are now heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you." Now, this may sound weird, but I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you get to be an heir of the promises of God. Say it. You get to be an heir of the promises of God. And I love this right here. Paul just takes this opportunity to just break it down to its form. He says, this is what's taking place. All of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, you've been united with him. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. And that now you are a child, you're adopted in the family of God, and therefore you are an heir to the unfathomable generosity of God through his promises. You are an heir to the unfathomable generosity of God through his promises. Now, Paul uses this, he mentions something here that's really important that sometimes we just breeze over. But he says here that when you're baptized and united with Christ, that we actually put on Christ. And what he's referring to is the spiritual act that takes place. And what it is that the Bible talks in Colossians, Paul talks about this in Colossians, where your old sinful nature, right, that part of us that loves sin, that part of us that's attracted to sin, that part of us that's drawn to the enticement of sin, right? We all know what I'm talking about, right? That part of us, what God does in that moment is that he strips that old selfish nature away. He rips that old nature away, and what he does is he replaces it with a new nature in Christ Jesus. Now, and he literally says that we put on Christ. That means that this, that you are then robed, you are like you're clothed with a robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means your old nature is peeled off. It's forgotten. Your old past is long gone. God cancels your record of sin forever. And then he puts on the robe of his son, Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, and it covers your life. And so what that means is that God no longer sees you as a sinful humanity. But when he looks at you, he looks at you at the righteousness of his son. He sees the blood of Jesus that covers your life. He sees the righteousness of his sinless son, Jesus, that covers your life. And there's nothing that anybody in this room could do to earn it. It's simply this awesome, incredible gift from God. Sound good? Too good to be true? It is the truth. It is absolutely the truth. You are literally clothed with the righteousness of Jesus as if somebody is draping a robe over you. That's the new life that we put on. That's what he's talking about here. That we put on the sinless life of Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. Every single one of us still sin. But God sees the righteousness of his son when he looks at us. And when the righteousness of his son and he sees the righteousness of his son, all the blessings of God are then targeted at your life. The blessing and the favor of God, the grace of God, is just poured out upon your life, and it covers your life. He goes on to say that there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, nor slave man nor free man, nor male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. All of us who have accepted this grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, we're all one. And what Paul is saying here is that we've all been adopted as one of God's children. And therefore, all barriers are removed. Now, this is really important. I think that I need to make this distinction. You know, a lot of people sometimes take this passage of Scripture and say, like, oh, God just obliterates all differences. Well, no, I don't believe that, because God created the order that we live in. He created the world that we live in. There are different colors and races and genders, and there's different bank accounts than everybody else. We're all different. We have living from different cultures and backgrounds. God created diversity. And that's what we celebrated last night on International Day. That's what we're like, yeah, it's awesome. God created this diversity among us, and we're going to celebrate it. But what Paul is getting at here is that the distinctions that mean so much to the rest of the world have no preferential treatment in the kingdom of God. We're all on the same level playing field. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God through faith. And my status before God is no higher than your status before God. And your status before God is no higher than my status before God. God looks upon us, each of us, at the righteousness of His Son that covers our life, and therefore we are all equal in the sight of God. Amen? We are all equal. He goes on, he says, and now that you belong to Christ, you become these true children of Abraham. And he's talking to a bunch of people who understand that Abraham was the forefather of their nation. And God made a huge promise to Abraham. God made a huge promise to him in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Paul talks about it and he says this. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. And what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles, you and I, to be righteous because of their faith. And God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. And so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. That means that every promise that God made to Abraham is promised to you. Every promise that God made to Abraham. You know what God promised Abraham? He promised that he was going to bless him beyond measure. Beyond measure. He's going to bless his life, and every descendant and everybody that's in his line is going to be blessed. And not only that, but his descendants will then bless the rest of the world. And so what God does is he blesses each and every one of us so that we can be a blessing to others. God gives us his favor. He pours out his goodness and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace and his love and his faithfulness. He pours it all on us so that we too can demonstrate that to the world around us, so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. And he says that we've received the favor of God. The word blessed there means to receive the favor of God. The word actually indicates this image of this living God who actually kneels down and bends down to humanity, this mess of humanity that we are, and he pours out his benevolence, his bountiful goodness and generosity, just pours it out upon you and I. That's amazing. The word blessed, and I'm going to talk about this in 2 weeks. I'm gone next week, but in 2 weeks, I'm really going to hit this deep. But what it means to be fully blessed is to mean fully satisfied in God. To be fully satisfied in God. So the image here that God is saying is that because you are in Christ, the blessings of God are constantly being poured out upon your life. The blessings of God, the goodness of God, the grace, the mercy, the joy, the peace, the love, all of it is just being poured out upon your life, bringing you complete satisfaction in Him. How many of you want to experience complete satisfaction in life? I know that I did. I was at a place in my life at one time where I hit rock bottom, and I reached out to God. I said, God, if you're real, I need you to show me you're real. I need you to demonstrate that this is who you are. If you are who you say you are, then show me yourself in my life. And you know what? He was faithful with that. He was absolutely faithful with that. God does not fail. And He will not fail you. And so, just as God's plan to bless all the nations through one man, Abraham, God later offered His own Son, Jesus, as the way into the blessing. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, 6, Jesus says this. He makes a bodacious claim. This is Jesus speaking. Everybody listen to me right here. This is what Jesus said, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father. Nobody can get to the Father. Nobody can receive all the awesome, bountiful blessings of God except through me. Except through me. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you receive Him not only as a Savior, and you recognize that He died for your sins and shed His blood as a sacrifice for you, but then you make Him Lord of your life and you say, God, my whole life is yours. My whole life is yours. You enter into the blessing of God. And I'm living proof. And there's so many people in this room that are living proof that God pours out His blessings upon you over and over and over and over and over again for all of eternity. You get to experience that. Complete satisfaction for all of eternity. Amen? Amen. That's good news this morning. That's good news. Hey, Josh, Catherine, go get the kids, man. Bring them on up here. We're going to get into the baptism in just a minute. Thanks. Entering in to the blessing. This morning, three people are going to take a bold step in their faith. As a result, they're going to be, the result is that they're about to enter into a lifetime, an eternity filled with the blessing of God. Entering into the blessing of God. It's going to be applied to their life every day for eternity. That's awesome. The goodness of God just poured out upon their life. You know, baptism is a response, a faith response for people. And it comes from a clear conscience. It's saying, I'm going to step into this water of baptism, and I'm going to get into this cold water now. Sorry, guys. We tried. And it's from a clear conscience. And the clear conscience is this, that God, I believe that you atone for my sins through Jesus Christ, that all my sins are atoned for through Jesus Christ. And I believe that my past has now been removed. I believe that I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and that I'm making a conscious decision today to walk and to live in the freedom that you died for me to have. Amen? Amen. Amen. So at this time, could you give a warm welcome to everybody who's going to be coming up here to get baptized? Come on, guys. Laura and Asher, come on up, guys. Keep clapping for them. Keep clapping. All right. Hey, come on up here. I'm going to show you guys off. It's cool. Come on up here, Asher. Come on here, Laura and Pauline. Come on up here. Come on up here.